In the evolving landscape of luxury home building, discerning clients are seeking more than just high-end finishes. They desire a seamless, intentional experience from concept to completion. Today, I'm honored to welcome the co-founders behind Simple Finesse, Sia, Interior Design Principal and Creative Director, and Roderick, Architectural Designer and Residential Building Contractor. Together, they lead a Minneapolis-based full-service architecture, interior design, and build studio dedicated to crafting clean, timeless, and intentional designs for both residential and commercial spaces. Sia brings over 15 years of experience consulting Fortune 500 executives, infusing each project with a strategic, process-driven mindset that harmonizes creativity with business acumen. Her leadership ensures that every design seamlessly blends aesthetics, function, and personal expression. Rod, with a rich background in high-end residential architecture and a passion for refined, thoughtful homes, believes that great design emerges from collaboration. His expertise in 3D modeling and architectural visualization ensures precision and efficiency in every project, bringing them to life with meticulous attention to detail. In today's episode of The Interior Collective, we will explore how Simple Finesse's integrated design-build approach is redefining luxury home building, the motivations driving clients toward design-driven studios, and the significance of being a minority and women-owned firm in an industry where diverse perspectives are still rare. Let's go. We are so excited to invite you to dive deeper into the Interior Collective podcast episodes now on Patreon. Unlock access to in-depth analysis, helpful downloads, and worksheets created with each podcast episode. Subscribers gain behind-the-scenes access to additional resources like examples and screenshots of guest spreadsheets, construction documents, and so much more. Your subscription also gets you immediate access to our private community of interior designers and our team of industry experts ready to answer your questions. Subscribe now at patreon.com/theinteriorcollective or linked in the show notes. Join the Interior Collective Patreon community and let's continue this conversation. This season of the Interior Collective podcast is presented by Materio, the first all-in-one operating system built specifically for interior designers. From project timelines to procurement, client billing to install date, Materio streamlines your entire workflow into one beautifully intuitive platform. Try it free at getmaterio.com and the Interior Collective listeners get 50% off their first month. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm so excited to talk to both of you. It's a huge honor to have you on the show. And I am so fascinated by what you have built and how you work together. It's going to be an incredibly informative, incredibly important conversation. And I'm just really grateful that you're here to have it with us.
Well, thank you, Anastasia, for having us. I'm a huge fan of yours. I've been listening to your show for the last year and learned so much from all the different speakers you have on. So it's an honor for us to be on your show. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to definitely be on.
Before we dig into the questions, because you know I'm going to start grilling you real fast, go ahead and give me an intro about each of you just so everyone can get to know the voices and put a picture in their head as they're listening.
Yeah, sure. So I can go first. So I'm Sia. I don't come from a design background. My background is in business. So I've been working in Fortune 500 companies for the last 13 years. However, interior design has always been a huge passion of mine since I was a little girl. And, meeting Rod. Rod is the design expert, architectural designer. And we always wanted to start our own business. So about 3 years ago now, we launched Simple Finesse, which we're excited to talk about more in the show. But again, my background is definitely not design. It's more on the business side. From a Simple Finesse perspective, my role is to be the interior designer as well as the creative director.
Yeah. And then my background, obviously, it's in residential architecture. I found architecture as a passion as a young, teenager, and followed through with the education in architecture at the University of North Carolina, and then was able to have a wonderful career and several firms across the states in the Northwest and also here in the Twin Cities, working on really beautiful and exciting high-end residential projects.
So cool. So you gave us a little taste test of it, but I'd love to hear, like, what were some of the core business motivations behind launching Simple Finesse as a fully integrated design build studio? The fact that you offer everything start to finish is so unique, and also from like a consumer standpoint sounds incredible. So talk to us about what really made that make the most sense for you as a team.
Thank you for the question. So when we officially launched Simple Finesse, we did not start off as a design and build. With Rod's background in architecture, we were really a design only with the long-term goal of becoming design and build. However, based on the experience we've had with working with general contractor, what we realized is that we wanted to get to that goal much quicker because we knew that from the get-go, it was going to really help us scale much faster. So there was really three key motivators for us to hit that goal much sooner. One was higher profit margin. We knew that if we became, you know, a design build, which you really maximize our profit from the design all the way to the construction phase. The second one is knowing that we really, you know, we take pride in the design that we have. And what we found is that we were on site a lot working with general contractors, right? And making sure that our design was really executed to the level that we wanted to. So knowing that we were going to, you know, add on the build aspect allowed us to really own the end-to-end process better and making sure that our client experience had a seamless experience, but also that the craftsmanship was at the level that we wanted to be. And then third, I will say a big push for us to go design build much sooner was scalability. We knew that becoming a design build was going to allow us to take on larger projects with larger budget, which ultimately is going to help us scale much more quickly.
Yeah, so fascinating. In the infancy of the business, and you're like, we're going to get there someday, what did you think the initial timeline for that goal was?
Yeah, good question. Our goal was that in our 5-year mark, we were going to become design build. And we actually did it much sooner, 2 years sooner than anticipated. Right?
Heck yeah.
And to be honest, you know, Rob was a little bit hesitant because his passion is architect, right? But I saw how passionate he was on the build side. And I really encouraged him to say, you know, getting your you know, residential build license is actually going to make you a better designer because now you're really going to be able to understand how things come together, how it's being built. So he actually, you know, got his license this past fall. And after he got it, he realized, you know, I should have done this sooner because I passed it so easily because from my architectural background, you have to know so much coding and so forth that it was just a natural transition to that would that made sense from a business perspective.
That's such a good point. My sister's an architect, so I know the kind of training that you went through. And yes, I feel like she could run a job site really easily now and often does. Rod, I'm curious how you define the term that you guys use a lot is a design-led philosophy in the context of building. And how do you define that? And what does that like tangibly look like from a client perspective?
Yeah, it's important to understand and differentiate. You know, there's two different models, right? There's on the one hand, you have builders who market themselves as design build, which, you know, they start out as a construction company where they're able to deliver a service as far as construction goes, but then later on really kind of add design as an add-on, for lack of a better word. And then there's, on the other hand, a design build model where you have architects who start out as designers providing design services. And then eventually, kind of like Simple Finesse here, we add on a build service to our business model as well too. And so those are the two differences between design led and build led.
And I will add that from a design led, what we really mean by that is that the design, you know, leads the build, right? That from the get-go, architect and interior designers are at the table. A lot of time when you're working with a design build, one of the advice that we give our client is that, you know, when you're shopping for design build, be very intentional asking the right questions to make sure if you're working with a true designer or are you working with a general contractor, right, who is going to outsource the architecture, right? For Simple Finesse for our studio, we are first and foremost designers. Right. So when you come and work with us and reach out to us, the type of questions that we're going to ask you are very different than a general contractor, the type of questions that a general contractor would ask. So a very tangible question, an example is if we had a client come to us and say, hey, I have a lot. I'm looking to build a new home on it. Rod and I will ask questions and we'll go out and do a site visit. And the things that we pay attention to are going to be very different, right, than a general contractor. When we go to site visit, we will look at the environment and be mindful of designing a home that's going to complement the environment. We'll look at the lot and think about, okay, what is the best placement of the house? Which direction should the house face? What that is going to allow for the most natural light, right? So again, when you're thinking of design-led, you know, firms, they're truly at the forefront of the project versus a general contractor.
How do you explain to potential clients that your process creates better outcomes than a traditional architect then builder model? And how, what kind of language are you using with them to educate them when they push back of like, well, I get that you're design led, but like, we want to make sure we have a really quality constructed home. And so like, how are you kind of combating what any sort of bias they might have of feeling like, oh no, they need a luxury home builder who just does home building plus a designer, and that it shouldn't be the same team, if you even come up against that at all?
Yeah, no, we do, right? We do definitely. Clients come in and say, hey, you know, I've been following this, you know, builder for quite some time. I'm really, you know, impressed with the quality of their work. I want to hire them for the build, but I want to work with you guys for the design because I love your design, right? And I mean, it's not that we're totally opposed to it, but we definitely want to educate the client, right, around making sure that they have all the information so that they can make the best decision for them. And part of the education is really conveying to them that working with a design build one-stop shop, right, allows you to really have one team that you can work with end-to-end. When you have different teams that you're working with, it makes the process a bit more cumbersome. And to be honest, from a client perspective, a little bit more stressful, right? You have three different contracts, right, potentially. You have three different billing cycles, right? Three different timelines. And you're trying to manage all the different, you know, stakeholders, right? That can make the process a little bit more messy. With the one-stop shop design build, like Semper Finesse, is that you have one team that is really going to work for you. Your right-hand partners that are going to take you through the entire process, which ultimately, at the end of the day, allows you to enjoy the process and the journey more and takes the stress away, right? So the positive working with a design build is that you're working with an entire team that has the same philosophy when it comes to design versus trying to convey that to a different team that you're collaborating with.
You know, as you're talking, Sia, I'm just like running numbers in my head really quickly. And I mean, just like basically commonsensically, it would cost less to have all of your team doing it because so much of a designer's job is communicating with the other teams, and that gets billed back hourly. And you guys are just communicating across the room or wherever it is that you're doing. So we'll get more into like how this all gets priced and like how you figure that out. But I mean, just from a pricing standpoint, that seems like it could be a pretty compelling narrative as you're educating your clients on the concept. So when we were prepping for the show, your team had sent over this concept that you two are feeling like more homeowners are moving away from traditional builders and into the arms of design forward studios. Talk to me about what you're experiencing and how you're seeing that and what you think that shift is coming from.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely been a shift in, you know, clients wanting that one-stop shop, right? And I think it really goes back to, especially luxury design, right? They're looking for that white glove service, right? I want to be able to sign the contract and kind of forget about it until you know, it's turnkey ready to come home in a sense, right? And that's been the source of the push of why people have been going for that design build aspect is, again, having the seamless experience from a client experience without having to work with three to four or five different partners in a sense. So that's been a big push. I think the other aspect is that we've had a lot of developers actually reach out, right? And that's been kind of surprising, to be honest. Once we became a design build, we've had a few developers reach out wanting to work with us. And I think that also conveys the level of knowledge that developers sees in the craftsmanship that comes from working with a design build, a one-stop shop that allows them to have a high profit margin when it comes to selling the home.
That's a super interesting thought process that I hadn't even considered, that developers and investors can come and have one strategic partner to work with. So that's really interesting. As people, just historically, I'm hearing from our clients that in some cases and in some markets, like they're still getting that influx of inquiries that they were experiencing like right when COVID hit and people were investing so much in their homes. And other people are like, it's kind of slowed down and people are nervous as we head towards a new administration and potentially a recession and everything that goes with that. So to be able to extend your services into kind of a whole new market that you hadn't thought of before is really quite brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, again, to be honest, it's not like we've always thought about, you know, eventually down the road doing specs home ourselves. But it's not that we were very intentional reaching out to developers. They actually reached out to us, right? We had a recent developer reaching out who just bought a 7 lot, you know, and looking to build 7 homes on it and talking to us about, you know, the reason why he reached out. He really liked the one-stop shop idea of having one team that they can work with from beginning to end. So that's been a huge blessing in a sense to have developers reach out. And hopefully, you know, that is going to, you know, come out to fruition that we'll be able to work closely with them to do a first spec home.
That is super exciting. I am curious as to, you know, it wasn't something that you were actively marketing or even thinking about. It comes to you. What do you two talk amongst yourselves to distinguish when an opportunity is a good fit? And you're like, let's go ahead and try this totally new thing. And is it going to work for us?
Yeah, I think a few things, you know, one, you know, our aesthetic style, right? I think that's one category. Does it match kind of in the design style that we love doing, right? Which is modern, minimal, clean lines, and more or less a neutral color palette, right? The other category would also be, is it the right client fit? Or do they kind of vibe with kind of, you know, who we are, not just the designers, but just kind of the way we
like to work.
Yeah. Like to work as well too. And that can tell you a lot about whether or not they're the right fit, mm-hmm. because it is a journey. As we've been kind of throwing that word around too, when working even on small remodel projects, let alone new builds, right? It's from design to build, it's, you know, 6 to 8 months, 10 months to a year. And so we want to make sure that the clients that we work with, it's going to be a smooth process. And in the end, you know, we prioritize being able to provide such a service that clients can kind of look back on this investment in design services and build services to say, hey, that was not only satisfactory, but it was a fun process.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you could just clarify for me, in the full scope of design build, at what point are you guys stepping away from a project? Are you like doing the final furnishing styling and then you're like, here are your keys, welcome to your home? Or is it more hard surfaces, lighting, plumbing, all of that sort of thing, and then the client moves in from there and takes over?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think we have a little bit of flexibility in that sense, right? We've had clients who say, hey, you know what? I want you to furnish it, right? Like, I want you to pick out the furnishing, install it. We've had clients who say, hey, I just want you to design and build a home, and it stops there. So in that sense, we have that. We do have that flexibility, which has been really beneficial for the type of clients that we've been working with. So there is that sense of flexibility to either go with us for the full end, to your point, white glove, turnkey ready, and others will come, you know what, I really like your design. I want you to pick out my countertop, right, and my cabinetry, my paint, and so forth. But the furnishing, I'll manage that.
Okay, perfect. Do you feel like you've hit any misconceptions from clients or what their biggest hesitations are about working with a design build studio?
I would say one of the biggest misconceptions is that it's more costly, right? And it goes back to the point you made around, hey, you know, when I take a step back and think about it, it might actually save more, not only time, but also the cost aspect of working with one team. And I think we've had clients come to us and say, well, you're full end-to-end. Does that mean that, you know, you charge more because everything is in-house? And what we try to do with our client is really educate them to say, actually, you might end up saving more, or it might actually be just as much. And not only that, you're saving yourself the headache, right? Like we talked about, of working with 3 different teams, right? Everything is in-house. So I would say that's one of the biggest misconceptions, is that it is going to cost more. The second misconception is that, you know, all design and build studios are the same, right? And that there's a pre-design plan that I can choose from. Some design build might operate that way. We don't. We are truly a customized, this high-end design studio where your home has never been built before, right? So those are some of the misconceptions that we have to also educate client on, is that we can definitely take a floor plan you like and customize it. But if you truly want a, you know, brand new floor plan and design that's so unique to you, that's what we're known for.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious to hear about your team structure and like what do things look like in-house and how are you maintaining kind of creative alignment as well as process alignment across the disciplines?
I'll let Rob talk about team structure and then I can talk about alignment.
Yeah, so you know, we're currently a fairly new establishment as a business. Really right now, projects are led by CNI. We're small and nimble, and so we're able to handle all of the responsibility that come with taking on, you know, all of our current projects right now. And so that's everything from project management, client meetings, to working with subcontractors in this case, to get the project finished.
Yeah, absolutely. And are you guys outsourcing anything? So for instance, Rod, are you still doing all of your CAD drawings? I'm sure as an architect, that's probably hard to outsource, but I'm like, you're sitting there working on CAD on your computer while you're also like managing the subs out in the field. Like how are you balancing all of it? And is there anything that you outsource?
Right now, from a design standpoint, yes, I'm really just kind of managing all that myself. Right. And so, and because we're doing that, you know, we're making sure that the number of projects that we're taking in, I'm still capable of really kind of providing a high level, not only design, but general contracting service as well too for our clients. And so, yeah, I'm fully involved with everything, construction documentation to even early on conceptual designing with 3D modeling, pretty much.
Yeah, so right now we're not from a design standpoint because we're able to phase a project to your point. But as we continue to scale, that might not be as feasible. But right now, because of the way our project are phased out, Rod is really able to dedicate his time to really focus on the design and then transition over to put on his general contractor hat on, right, and be on site. But to your point, as we continue to scale, that definitely is not going to work as well. We're going to have to start hiring full-time individuals to assist Rod on the general contracting site. From contracting now, we obviously work with subcontractors, right? We also work with cabinetry partners as well as, you know, structure engineers that we really, really turn to. So those are some of the key partners we work with. But as far as our internal team full-time, it's really just Rod and I at the moment.
Amazing. And when a client onboards with you, are they getting direct access to both of you as they have questions? Do you have what one of you is like the key point of contact? I'm always curious how a duo really maintains clear communication without letting, you know, hairs get crossed.
You know, that's a really good question. I typically am the one that clients will talk to initially, right? When we do the discovery call, when we onboard them, we talk to them about the portal and the timeline and so forth. Once we get to more of the design aspect, especially as we get into the floor plan design, a blueprint design and so forth, Rob will take a lead on that, right? That's his expertise. So he'll lead more of the meetings on discussing the design. And then once the design of the home is complete and we get into the interior, that's what I'll go ahead and lead more, right? And start talking with the clients around the interior aspect of the design.
As a longtime listener to this podcast, you have probably heard a wide range of software recommendations, tools for sourcing, invoicing, time tracking, and beyond. But if you've tried piecing them all together, you only end up with a system that can feel disjointed, and you are not alone. The truth is, it's not you. What you needed just didn't exist until now. Meet Materio, a powerful operating system built specifically for interior design firms. From the first mood board to the final installation, Materio brings every phase of your project into one streamlined, intuitive platform. Procurement, client billing, task management, it is all connected and it actually makes sense. Design smarter, stress less. Try it free at getmaterio.com. Interior Collective listeners receive 50% off their first month. My favorite question in every show. Let's talk pricing and like, how does this work? How are you handling how you charge across different disciplines? Is it priced differently per phase? Is it consistent throughout the design and build process? And I don't need like specific numbers, but feel free to share them. But like conceptually, are you guys more on like a flat rate model, a percentage model? Are you logging every hour throughout everything? Just tell us how you make money.
Yeah. So for a design build, to your point, we charge differently based on the phase, right? So there's 3 key phases. There's the design phase, which includes the architectural design as well as the interior design. And then there's the build. And if the client wants to hire us for the install, there's that aspect as well, right? So from a design standpoint, depending on the scope of the project, if it's a smaller project where we've done it before, we feel pretty confident on the amount of hours and time that it's going to take, we typically do flat fee. If it's a new, truly custom home or a commercial space that we haven't done before, and that's going to, you know, really entail much more revision and close partnership with the client, we do an hourly fee. And then once the design phase is complete, we then move into the build. The build phase, we have a similar approach, right? So if it's a small, let's say a small kitchen remodel, and we price that out before, we would do a fixed rate on that. If it's a brand new custom home build, we do what is called a cost plus. And I'll let Ralph talk a little bit more about what cost plus actually means.
Yeah, I think for us, more again, it really depends on the client's comfortability, right? We typically contract on a fixed fee during the build phase. So we'll be able to, our approach is to be able to get a close, accurate estimate of all of the materials and labor that goes into the build of the project. And so then it's something that, you know, the client's clear and kind of gives them an advantage of knowing, you know, there isn't anything that's going to exceed that. But those for other projects that are pretty straightforward, even in new builds too, but there are projects that may be a little bit more highly custom. We would probably ship over to more of a cost plus, which allows us to have more flexibility in terms of adjusting for potential cost overruns that might come with clients, you know, evolving, you know, changes in their design decision making, right?
And what a great way to put that. Clients evolving.
Evolving.
Yes.
Evolving tastes. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, and we, you know, we talk about the difference that all design build companies are created equal. It's the same thing with clients too. You know, some clients are pretty straightforward, mm-hmm. but some other clients, you know, they have big aspirations. And like we said, you know, it may be an evolving process. And so we adjust for that by taking a more cost plus contractual approach.
Yeah, for sure. You did mention, Sia, just now, the example of like just a kitchen remodel. I did want to know how many of your projects, well, first of all, I know everything's in different phases, but on average, what is your sweet spot of how many projects you carry at what time?
I think because it's just us right now, right? And because Rod is playing he wears two hats, architectural and general contractor. The project that we feel the amount of project we feel pretty comfortable with is like probably five, right? Five would be a good comfortable project for us being full time. As we continue to scale, right, we're definitely open to taking on more. But because right now it's just us, five is our sweet spot, I would say.
Five sounds like a lot for two people, especially when you're managing build too. That is a very impressive number. Y'all talked about this a little bit at the top of the show, but as everyone's listening and they're like, man, maybe I should add build to my business model. Talk to me about, like, and I know this varies state to state, but what specific licenses you need as your design build firm and what technical skills or education level you needed to obtain said licenses.
Yeah. So on the design side, on the architectural side, you're required to have an architectural license, right? And so in order for you to provide architectural services. And then on the build side, you have to pass the state, in this case, the state of Minnesota of residential building contractor license. And after that, you can register and apply for a general contractor's license.
Got it. Yeah, because there's some places like the weird place I live in Texas that you don't even need to have a license to be a general contractor. So it definitely varies state by state. But I do think, yeah, it's a little terrifying, right? But I do think that it's worth bringing up, Rod, that conceptually this design build could very much work for some people without the architectural element. But I think what makes you all so unique is that you are truly designing start to finish. And I think a lot of times we'll hear design build, but people still need an architect. And I think that that is what is so special about your team, that people hear design build and they're usually thinking more design finishes. And then of course into the interior design, but the fact that there is the incredibly rigorous architectural training as well and license, it really is a one-stop shop. Someone wouldn't need to hire literally anyone else, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the nail there. I think that's really what makes our studio unique, is that we have architect, interior designer, and built. And I will say that the reason why you don't typically see that is that architects typically just want to really focus on their discipline and be the best architect, right? They're not interested in being the general contractor. They're not interested in interior design. I think what makes us unique is that Rod, although he is passionate about his architect, he actually enjoys the general contracting and the building side of it. So it was a natural progression. I think that that's what makes us a little bit unique, is that sometimes architects don't want him. They're not interested in that. And that's definitely okay, right, in that sense. But for us, I think it was a natural progression because of Rod's skill set and the passion that really drives him.
I can only imagine how rewarding it is to see what you designed actually come to fruition and you be in charge of like how well it comes to fruition. So I am wondering, a little curious as to how you navigate creative differences internally when there's just two people working on things. Do you find that there's any conflict in architectural and in interior visions, or are you guys just like super in sync and there hasn't been creative differences? Of course, there's probably personality differences that come up in any stressful job.
You know, the challenge of working with your spouse, that can be a totally different episode for sure, right? There's huge benefit, but also challenges. But I will say, from a, you know, aesthetic, you know, design, creative standpoint, I feel like Rod and I we're pretty aligned in that sense. And I think that's the benefit of, again, being a design-led studio, is that from the get-go, when we meet with the client, we're both at the table. So we get to know the client at the same time. We get to hear the same things at the same time. And that allows us to align on the broader vision that we have for the design, which, again, when it gets down to the actual architecture or the interior, we pretty much align in that sense. Where we've had instances where, you know, we might have different opinion, we go back and really discuss things with the client, right, to get their input and their perspective. And then that gives us the answers to say, okay, yeah, we should go this direction, because really that aligns more to the way that they're going to be really living in the home and the way that they see the home.
I am wondering what type of like softwares or processes you're using for your both like internal communication on like a design side of things, as well as project management softwares, if there's anything that you guys have picked up that has worked really well, especially when managing a more nimble studio like yours.
Yeah, I'll let Rod talk about from an architect standpoint.
From an architectural interior design standpoint, early on in our kind of design process, we do a lot of heavy 3D modeling. And so we use SketchUp, right? SketchUp is pretty, you know, simple interface software to kind of use to create visualizations for our clients, you know, to do studies per each space and to just kind of quickly work through the design process and get conceptual ideas out, trying to capture big picture, small picture ideas. And then as we shift over to a more developed phase of the design process where we start, you know, detailing and drawing construction documents, we use a software that's more robust. It's called ArchiCAD. Much similar to Revit, which is Autodesk product, but it's essentially a building information BIM product that allows you to kind of work, you know, back between 2D drafting and checking the accuracy by being able to also simultaneously 3D model. So, ArchiCAD allows us to, you know, both ensure kind of an efficiency by having all the tools in a single software, but also ensure accuracy too in our construction documents. So as we put together the construction documents and issue out to the builder, we feel confident that what they have in their hand, they can build with very little issues and problems.
I am curious, just knowing how much schooling you went through, Rod, I'm so fascinated that you start with your initial concepts, or, you know, more developed out, but initial concepts that you're presenting in SketchUp. Was SketchUp something that you learned in school? And secondly, do you recommend that interior designers, even if they're not looking to go design build, teach themselves, take a course, get into SketchUp?
Absolutely. I think SketchUp, for any designer who's, you know, going into interior design or architecture, I would say start there. Like I said, again, it's a very straightforward, simple software tool for 3D modeling purposes to use, right? And so, you know, my experience with SketchUp definitely was something that was taught heavily in school too, but also especially going into the workforce, you know, getting my first job doing high-end residential work, a lot of my initial early on intern kind of position was to focus on the visualization and the conceptual designing aspects of the projects that I help manage. And so I spent a lot of time in SketchUp, and yeah, it's a great tool and easy tool to use.
Awesome. That's super rewarding to hear, because I know a lot of designers, I shouldn't say a lot of designers, it is common for designers to completely outsource their drawings, and you know, they're doing something more rudimentary to deliver to someone who can do the more technical side of things. But it definitely sounds like even on your team, getting to the SketchUp level is kind of a bridge in between those two.
Absolutely.
So yeah, you've talked a lot today about scaling and plans to scale. Can you talk to us about what scaling looks like for you, and like, what are your big picture plans? Like, what do you, like your 10-year vision of what Simple Finesse looks like? Do you feel like that has a clear picture?
And I'd love to know.
Share everything you can.
Yeah, no, I think out of Broad and I tend to be the big dreamer, right? So when we launched Simple Finesse, we were very intentional in saying that we wanted to become a design build, but also a lifestyle brand, right? Ultimately. So we'd be very intentional in building our brand and really convey to our clients, you know, the essence of what Simple Finesse is. So long-term goal is that we want to continue to hone in on our design, right, expertise, and continue to potentially do more new custom build. We also want to dabble, again, talking with the developers around Specs Home, right, and really dabble in that sense, and give, you know, client a potential feel of what it feels like to really, you know, buy and live in a, you know, Simple Finesse home, spec home, what that would be like. So definitely something that a goal that we have for ourselves. And then from a lifestyle brand perspective, you know, we would love to eventually open a brick and mortar shop, right? Where we can, you know, potentially have furniture also, and even dabbing to, you know, clothing, right? So for us, really, the sky's the limit as far as the lifestyle brand aspect of it, because we really feel like Simple Finesse is more than just, you know, residential design. It's a way of living. And we want to really infuse that in everything that we do.
That's super exciting. I'm just so inspired by you guys. I think this business model is so brilliant and incredibly hard earned. What has it meant, and what does it mean to you to be a leading minority and woman-owned firm in a predominantly white, male, vanilla industry, both honestly on the design and build side of things?
Yeah, no, I guess first, thank you for the question and for acknowledging that. I think, you know, you're right in a sense that there's definitely an opportunity to have more representation, diverse representation from the design and the build site as well. I think for us, I can speak for myself, for me, it's definitely rewarding. It's exciting. And I feel a lot of pride to say, you know what, we're going to do this. You know, it's not every day that we've seen design build studios being owned by minority, right? But doesn't mean that we cannot be the first, right? We can, you know, take that, be the trailblazers, and, you know, take the lessons learned and hopefully inspire others to do so. So from, you know, my personal perspective, it's been really rewarding as well as challenging, definitely along the way. But the reward definitely outweighs some of the challenge that we've encountered so far.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add?
No, I think you speak for the both of us. You know, I think like CS said too, you know, it's rewarding, but it's also a lot of unknowns to it, you know, coming kind of with our background, our community too, not seeing kind of examples of minority owned businesses that have really kind of taken this leap, this jump from being an employee to a business owner and
making it.
So we're excited for this challenge for sure.
It sounds amazing. And to hear of your goals and vision for an all-encompassing lifestyle brand is really exciting. What advice do you have for other underrepresented founders looking to break into this industry? Like Rod, you just mentioned going from employee to business owner. I think that in particular really strikes a note for me, that the skill sets have always been there. Like the skills have always been there. And then how do you transition to getting to be the face of the brand? For those listening, any advice you have?
I think for me, especially for being a minority woman and not having that design background, the biggest thing for me is to be bold and go for it, right? So being confident in who you are. I think that that's been something big that Ron and I had really kind of honed in on is when we launched Simple Finesse, we wanted to be authentically ourselves. We didn't want to fit a mold, right? We didn't want to be the next, you know, whatever. We wanted to be us, right? And we knew that by staying true to who we are, we would attract the right clients, the right partners, right? The right business opportunities. So that would be one big advice. From a practicality standpoint, I think Rock can talk a little bit more about you know, the education and the experience that he got that got him to get the skill set that he got today.
Yeah, you know, just be bold. Like Sia said, we encourage you to continue to follow your passion. If architecture or interior design is that path, know that there's, you know, big opportunities out there. So definitely encourage you to chase it. I think for me, my path, I've always knew I wanted to be an architect. And so I followed that path through school. And then following that, you know, didn't really settle for, you know, firms that had, for lack of a better word, mediocre work. But, you know, it's to be able to work for firms that do very high-end, exciting work. It's definitely competitive, but chase those if that's really your passion, I would say. And, you know, the team and the architects, the designers there are really talented. And so, you know, you can really pick up and learn a lot of skills from working with those individuals who are equally passionate in design as you are too, and continue to hone your craft. And if becoming an entrepreneur and business owner is kind of the big picture goal, this is kind of the stepping stone to getting there. And so continue to chase that path.
I'm curious if you say that you were a teenager when you realized you wanted to be an architect. And I think just knowing that is amazing. I'm like, man, I wish I knew what I wanted to do yesterday, let alone when I was a teenager. But what point did you go from I want to be an architect to I'm working at really amazing firms to maybe I want to do this on my own?
You know, we always wanted to have creative control over not only our designs, but, you know, being able to take claim in it, right? And a lot of times working for someone else, a lot of the credits go to, rightfully so, you know, the business owners. And so I think, you know, that thought of owning our own business and shifting from an employee to a business owner has never really left. I think it was just a matter of
when,
right? And I think luckily, you know, Sia being bolder than I am, you know, provided that sense of encouragement for me and for us to really, you know,
to go for it. I think, you know, Rod is a humble person. He doesn't give himself enough credit, but he's an amazing designer, right? And because he's an amazing designer, it opened doors for him to work at some of the top residential high-end design, you know, firms west as well as here in Minnesota. And because of that, it allowed him to get the experience he needed to officially launch, right? And I think for him, we make the perfect team in a sense that he is right. I'm the one that's a little bit more bolder, and that I really saw the you know, the talent in him to say, you know, you have the talent, and you know, all of the owners that you work with continue to praise you about your talent. I think it's time for you to take a leap and go for it, right? So that I think that it was never if, it was just when. And I think, you know, the pandemic, just like the people, I think the pandemic really allowed us to truly take a step back and reflect on how we want to live our life, right? And that there is never a quote-unquote right time to do it. And, you know, after the pandemic, you know, I say, you know, it's now or never. Let's just pull the trigger and see where it goes. So I'm glad that, you know, we took a leap, because I see what, you know, what great work we've done so far, and the feedback that we're getting from a client has been so positive as well. So it just goes to show that, you know, Ra's talent is really there, and the aspiration that we have for ourselves is going to, you know, hopefully come to fruition.
For someone who is interested in looking to partner with an architect or contractor to create some sort of design build partnership or firm, what do you think would be the first step, assuming that they are not living in the same house as them?
I think for us, I would say the biggest thing is, do you align on your vision, right? Because you might have all the right skill sets, right? But if you don't align on the vision and the experience that you want to provide for your clients, you're going to clash, right? So that would be the first thing is, if you're an interior designer, you're like, you know what? I want to become a design build, but I'm going to try to find partners in that sense. You know, vet out general contractor and better architect that you feel have the same vision, have the same vision as far as design perspective, a vision of the overall client experience that you want to provide. That would be my biggest advice.
Amazing. As you know, I like to wrap up every show with a little sneak peek of what's to come. Can you share any exciting projects or collabs you have coming up this year that we can look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, I touched on it a little bit already, but we are working with a few developers. We're in talks with a few developers who have reached out, who are looking to do Specs Home, right? And who are interested to work with us from a design and build perspective. The other big piece is we are working to finish up a multi-generation home. So, yeah, so definitely excited about that. It's our first multi-generation, a brand new home that we're working with a client on a two-acre lot.
Yeah, it's a large lot.
It's a pretty large lot. So that is going to come to fruition pretty soon. Hopefully, we're going to be breaking ground this fall. So it's exciting for us to see the design come to life as well.
That is so exciting. Well, you guys, this was a fantastic episode. Thank you both so much. So insightful. I just think you both are so brilliant, and I'm super grateful for your transparency and walking us through how exactly you built what you built in such a short amount of time.
Well, no, thank you so much again for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, really appreciate it. Thank you. Been a pleasure being on.
You guys take care and we'll chat soon, okay?
Sounds good.
Take care.
For more in-depth analysis of this interview, including exclusive downloads, examples, and more, don't forget to subscribe to the Interior Collective on Patreon. We are building an amazing private community of interior designers and industry experts open to candid conversations and answering questions. Join us on Patreon in the show notes or at patreon.com/theinteriorcollective. Thank you so, so much for tuning into this episode. Producing this show has truly been the honor of my career, and I cannot believe I get to have these conversations. A big, huge thank you to our production team at IDECO Studio and Quinn Maid. Your contribution literally makes this podcast feasible. And the biggest thank you to you, our listeners. Your sweet notes, DMs, and reviews mean so much to us as we work to keep our show free and always accessible. Until next time, I'm Anastasia Casey, and this is The Interior Collective, a podcast for the business of beautiful living.
Overwhelmed with software options for interior designers? Materio brings it all into one intuitive system, finally. Try it free at getmaterio.com and get 50% off your first month as an Interior Collective listener.